Welcome to the Dominion Embassy Broadcast. Lord, I love to sing your praise. You are about to hear a kingdom living message from Reverend Kofi Asa of Dominion Embassy, a ministry committed to unveiling our Lord Jesus Christ and his kingdom system. Reverend Kofi Asa is also a pastor at the Prevailing Word Chapel. Please sit back and enjoy this anointed and insightful message.
Now, we want to look at the subject of critical battles. And actually, it's a subject that I started on Thursday. I laid a very strong foundation on Thursday. But I want us to continue to look at the critical battles. We will look at the first temptation of Jesus Christ. I want us to understand, we need to understand that battles of life are not in the same grade. They are not in the same level or the same dimensions. There are 5-star ones, there are 4-star ones. They are not the same, really. And it is the same with blessings and glory. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Are you alive this morning? Hallelujah. Are you excited to be in church? Hallelujah. Are you excited? Hallelujah. Wow. So we are looking at the subject of critical battles. We are looking at the first temptation of Jesus Christ. And we need to understand that the battles of life are not the same. They are not in the same grade. They are not in the same level. The same goes with blessings and glory. Glory is not the same. There are levels of glory. There are levels of blessings. And we have to understand that some of the challenges of life are life-altering. They are destiny-altering. But others are not. It is just like for people who like football, it is just like your favorite team is going to play. You know that there are some matches which are friendly matches. There are others which are critical. Now, the critical ones, you don't want your team to lose. By all means, your team must win that match. When the blaster has to play a match that qualifies her for the World Cup in 2010, everybody is anxious because it is not a friendly match. It is a critical battle. And the same goes with those of us who are learning. If you are in school, you know that there are various examinations that you take. But there are some which are critical. Others are not critical. There are some exams that you don't have to fail. If you fail, you know that it affects your life in a major way. But there are others that if you don't do well in, you don't really mind. Because although it's an exam, it is a test, but it is not as critical as the other ones. Now, in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ also, there were two decisive battles that Jesus went through. The first one is what I taught on Thursday. The first one took place in the Garden of Gethsemane, and the second one is what we are going to look at. It took place in the wilderness in Matthew chapter 4, and then there's 1 to 11. So I want us to go into the Bible and then read from Matthew chapter 4, verse 1 to 11, and we are going to look at this critical battle of Jesus. Bible says that then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterwards anhungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, "If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread." But he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God." Now the second temptation, then the devil took him up into the holy city and seated him on a pinnacle of the temple and said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast yourself down. For it is written, He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. And Jesus said unto him, It is written again, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. The third temptation. Again, the devil took him up into an exceeding high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and saith unto him, All these things will I give thee if thou fall down and worship me. Then saith Jesus unto him, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. In each of the decisive battles of Jesus Christ, angels came and ministered unto him. In the Garden of Gethsemane, afterwards, the Bible says that angels came and ministered unto him. In the wilderness, the Bible says that afterwards, according to Matthew, angels came and ministered unto him. It is important for us to understand that these temptations, as it were, these trials of Jesus Christ are in the same ranking. They are in the same grade. But how is it relevant to us? How he was tempted is going to be the way that we are also going to be tempted. And how he overcame is going to be the way that we also will overcome. Because the Bible makes us to know that the servant is not greater than his master. And Jesus said that if they did that to me, then you can be sure that they will do it unto you also. But the good news is that Jesus Christ overcame the temptations. And that makes us to understand that in any battle or temptation or trial that comes our way, we are going to be on the victor side. Hallelujah. It is important for us in our lives to be able to recognize what is critical and what is not critical. There was a time we were writing an exam, and there is this friend of mine. I think he did not notice that there was a question that was a compulsory question, and that carried like 30 marks. And there were many other questions that carried marks, some of them two, some of them one, and all that. What he did was that he concentrated on the questions that carry marks, two marks, one, and all that, and he forgot the critical question. And so at the end of the day, although he had done so well, written so well, and he had, as it were, had victory over many questions in the examination, yet he failed, or rather he did not do well, just because the critical question was not recognized as a critical question in order for him to concentrate upon. And I want us to understand that that is the way that we have to approach life. It is important for us to approach life not just fighting, but fighting the critical battles. It is important for us to approach life not just doing anything, but making sure that we recognize what is critical, what is destiny altering in our lives, so that when we concentrate upon it and we do well there, then we can have the upper hand in life. Hallelujah. So I want us to look at the verse 1. The Bible makes us to understand that Jesus Christ was led up by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Jesus was not a wilderness man. In fact, he was somebody who was brought up at home. He is not like his brother John the Baptist, who was used to a wilderness life. As for Jesus Christ, the Bible makes us to know that he was subject to his parents. In other words, He was living with his parents. The wilderness was not the place that he was sleeping. Hallelujah. It was an unfamiliar territory unto him altogether. And the Bible says that Jesus Christ was led by the Holy Spirit into an unfamiliar territory. And the word wilderness is from the word wild or wilder. In fact, it is the word wilder that they added another one to it to form the word wilderness. And so that place was a wild place. It was an uncharted territory for Jesus Christ. It was an environment, a condition that he was not used to. It was a strange place for him. But not only that, but it was a place that was wilder. It was an uncontrollable place, full of uncontrollable, wild, untamed elements. It was a place of chaos. In fact, if you read the book of Mark chapter 1 verse 13, the Bible says that he was with the wild animals. Wow. He was with the wild animals. Somebody who is not used to wild animals. Now he has to be with the wild animals. It was a difficult environment for Jesus Christ. In fact, it is as if you take a fish from water and then you put him in the street. You know that you want to destroy the fish. You know that the fish will not feel at home over there. And it's a difficult circumstance for the fish. And ladies and gentlemen, I want us to recognize that apart from the fact that it was an unfamiliar place, it was a difficult place, Jesus Christ had to be there for 40 days and 40 nights. It was a long time in a very difficult place. And it reminds me of the people of Israel who had come out of Egypt and they had to be in the wilderness for 40 years. In the wilderness with the wild animals, with a very difficult environment, very difficult circumstance for a very long time. But as if this one was not enough, the aspect of this whole critical battle of Jesus that was so difficult to understand is that the Holy Spirit led him into that difficulty. It was the Holy Spirit who led Jesus Christ into a circumstance that was difficult for him. And how else would Jesus ever have had a difficult circumstance if the Holy Spirit did not lead him? Because he led such a good life. His decisions were so good. His thinking was so well that he would never have entered into difficulty in all his life. So he has to be led by God into difficulty. So the Holy Spirit put Jesus Christ in a difficult environment, in an untamed, Satan-filled environment. And you must remember that he went there not to fast. The Bible says that he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. What was the purpose? To be tempted by the devil. He went there not for fasting. The objective of Jesus being led by the Holy Spirit into that difficult situation was that the devil had to go and confront him. He had to, as it were, have fellowship with the devil. So can you imagine that God allowed his only begotten son, in whom he was pleased, he allowed Satan to fellowship with Jesus for a long time. It's as if he made an arrangement for Satan to confront Jesus. And so the Spirit of God, and that is how critical battles are. Most of the time, they are battles that come to you, not necessarily by your doing, not necessarily by your wrong decision. It's not by your fault. and you cannot really understand why such a thing should happen unto your life, may I suggest to you that it is, or it may be, a critical battle for you. So God allowed Satan to fellowship with Jesus. And that reminds me again of God allowing Satan to fellowship with Adam and Eve in the garden. Because God put Adam and Eve in an environment where the devil was already. Hallelujah. So it reminds me about Genesis chapter 1 and chapter 2.
We'll be back briefly to continue with the word. Dominion Embassy is a non-denominational teaching ministry, and our mission is to enable people to rule in life through acknowledging the treasure of the Lord in them. Our purpose is to teach about the treasure of the Lord, namely Jesus and His kingdom system. Our vision is to fully acknowledge the person, principles and performance of Jesus for mankind to teach the kingdom system of God. And our strategy is to bring the kingdom message and ways of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ through practical living, teaching and preaching, literature, seminar and audio visuals, all in the subliminal style of Jesus Christ. Welcome to the Dominion Embassy broadcast.
So I want us to just look at the difficulty that Jesus Christ was in. His lifestyle was good. He was worshiping God all right. Yet, God led him into a difficult environment because God had to make him to pass through a critical battle, a battle that was going to determine many things in the life of Jesus and how things was going to go. So this is the faithful Jesus Christ, but here he was in the wilderness and he could not believe it. He could not imagine it. How could God let this happen to me? It was enough for Jesus Christ to start doubting who he was. It was enough for Jesus to start doubting how God valued him. It was enough for Jesus to wonder, am I really the Son of God? Because if I am the Son of God, why should God lead me into such a difficult, Satan-filled environment? Why should he take me from where I am familiar with, where I am comfortable, into the wilderness? And I believe that as a man, Jesus would wonder, does God care enough for me? Does God value me? And that is the kind of question that we ask ourselves many times when we are faced with critical battles. Does God value me? Am I of any worth to God? Does He think about me enough? Why does God allow bad things to happen to good people when it is not their fault? Why does He put other people's problems on us so that we should solve it? But I want us to understand that although God put Jesus in a bad situation that ministered doubt about God's fatherhood to Jesus, and it ministered doubt about Jesus being the pleasing Son of God, yet the attitude of Jesus was right. Hallelujah. What was his attitude? He made the best use of the moment. He entered into fasting and prayer. He was not there to fast, but he had to choose to use this time correctly and wisely. He had to make sure that in the midst of his critical battle, he had the right attitude towards God. It was as if Jesus was saying that although you slay me, yet will I trust in you. And many times we will get into situations where we feel that It is the Lord who allows something to happen to us. But our attitude must be right. It may be for a long time. For the Lord Jesus, it was for 40 days and 40 nights. Yet his attitude was right. Yet he used the time of his critical battle wisely. How wisely do you use the time of your critical battle? And what is your attitude during those times? We need to be able to prepare ourselves, because for some of us, we have never had any critical battle in our lives before. But believe me, these things, it happens, and it will surely happen unto you. It will happen unto you. In the life of Jesus, we can talk about two times that this thing happened. Because critical battles are usually not the norm. They happen once a while in your life. But they are battles that determine how your destiny will be, how your life will go. And it is important for us to understand that God is going to bring critical battles into our lives. They are battles that we also face alone. We get into that situation alone. Nobody is around to support us. Jesus was taken from his parents and he was put there in the wilderness. He was alone. If you read the book of Genesis chapter 1, you will understand that Eve had to face the devil alone, so to speak. Because the devil came unto him and the devil began to tempt Eve. You have to face your critical battle alone, because God wants to test your obedience unto him. Hallelujah. So you must ask yourself, or you must prepare yourselves for the critical battles of life, and what your attitude is going to be when you are in the critical battle. It may be a defining moment for you, but the wonderful thing about critical battles is that God's intention is for you to go up and not for you to come down. Jesus Christ was led up by the devil. He was not led down. Although you may be in a situation that casts doubt on God's fatherhood and God's fairness and God's promise to you, you are going to be like Joseph. You are not going to go down. You are going to go up, because that is God's intention. The devil may mean it for you to go down, but God means it for you to go up. And Joseph was a slave in the house of Potiphar. He was taken away from his parents. He was put in the wilderness alone. He had to face the battle of his life alone. That was going to determine how his life subsequently was going to go. But Joseph did well, just like the Lord Jesus Christ. When the father's love, the coat of many colors, was taken away from Joseph, Joseph still had a right attitude. He had a right disposition. And when he was put into prison, Joseph's attitude was right. He had a right demeanor. Because God many times is going to allow critical battles to come your way, not by your fault, but because he wants to test your obedience unto him. But I want us to go on to look at the verse 2. The Bible says, and when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterwards hungered, or he was hungry. Can you imagine that Jesus Christ did the right thing? He had the right attitude in spite of the wilderness, and he ended up being hungry. He ended up being empty. Have you done something right and ended up empty and unfulfilled and unministered to? Have you done something right and ended up being on the losing end? Your life being empty. I believe that Jesus Christ may have checked the word of the Lord, and he realized that when Israel was in the wilderness for 40 years, God rained down manna unto them. They did not work for it, but God rained down manna in every time of the 40 years in the wilderness. But he looked at his 40 days in the wilderness, and God doesn't rain any manna down for him to eat. And he seemed to have been a righteous person in vain. He seemed to have had a right attitude in vain. It seemed that thing is not paying off, because he listens to the testimony of the Bible. He casts his mind back and he realizes that, unlike Israel, God is not even ministering unto him. Maybe he also takes his mind back to the book of 1 Kings, chapter 18 and chapter 19. In fact, earlier on in 1 Kings, where a raven had to bring food, in fact, bread and meat on daily basis to Elijah. Because God had told Elijah to go somewhere, and he said that he was going to let ravens feed him. And although Elijah was in a wilderness, yet God was providing for Elijah bread and meat in the morning and bread and meat in the evening. But when it comes to Jesus, who was a greater than Elijah, God does not do it. Maybe he also remembers Elijah after the contest on Mount Carmel, where Elijah was somewhere, let's call it a wilderness, and an angel came to wake him up and said, "Rise and eat." And the angel had cooked food for Elijah to eat. And the Bible says that Elijah ate that food, and he went in the strength of that food for 40 days to the mountain of God. But when it comes to Jesus, he looks at all of the things that should comfort him, and he realizes that although he is the Son of God, although God is pleased with him, although it is not his fault, unlike Israel in their 40 years in the wilderness, yet God does not minister to him. Yet his life is empty. In spite of that, the attitude of Jesus was still right. What is our attitude when we remember the suffering of other people? We read about it in the Bible, and we hear the testimony of people, and we hear about how they were in a difficult situation, and how God took them out, and how God blessed them even in the midst of it. And you look at your difficult circumstance, and God is not, as it were, ministering unto you. Your life seems to be empty. What is your attitude? Do you start putting the Bible aside and saying that God is not fair, that God loves some of his children more than some of his children? Do you say that you are just a spectacle through life? Because you know, sometimes people think like that. People talk like that. I know people who say things like, "Well, as for us, we just are spectators in life. We just came to lead some people. These are the real people. As for us, we came to see them off." Hallelujah. But ladies and gentlemen, I want us to understand that God had to do all this so that he set the stage for the devil to come in. Because I want you to note, according to Matthew, in verse 3, what happens. Look at verse 3. He was empty afterwards. And when the tempter came to him, he said unto him, "If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread." And please, note when the tempter came to him. The tempter came to him at the time that Jesus Christ began to feel hungry. It reminds me of Eve in the garden, when she had to face her critical battle alone. You came from
heaven to earth. I hope you've been blessed by the word. In case you've not accepted Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior, kindly say it is after me. Dear God, I repent towards you and sin. Come into my heart. I make you Jesus my Lord and Savior. Thank you for forgiving all my sins already, saving me from hell and accepting me into your kingdom as your royal child. In Jesus' name, amen. For this and other kingdom messages and books from Dominion Embassy, call 020-8078-535. Visit our website at www.dominionembassygh.org or our offices at No. 1 Karat Avenue, Eric Warden Street, near Zoom Lion offices, off Queen of Peace Academy, West Anaji Estate, Takoradi, Ghana. God richly bless you. Lord, I lift your name.